this is Harry. He's going to be presenting. He presented last week, this week, and next week, I believe, on God's Dream for a Better Future. Just thought I'd get to know you, and people can get to know you. So what's your name, full name, middle names, all that?
Oh, okay, no middle names. My name is Harry Lamb, quite simple.
Yeah.
And yeah, please not, you know, don't bring up those Lamb jokes. I think I get too many of those already. yeah, that's basically it. No middle names, so that's kind of boring. But
yeah, it's nice and easy. And why are you presenting the talk today?
Well, I do work for Credo. I'm one of the staff workers here. I was actually a student here as well, and I loved Credo so much that I decided to come back. And I really love teaching about the Bible. I think it's amazing, gives us a lot of guidance in life, but especially, you know, there's so much awesomeness in the Bible that gives us not only guidance in life, but for the future as well, beyond life as well. Mm-hmm. Beyond death, I should say. Yeah.
Just something a little different. If you could choose between a thousand horse-sized ducks. No, did I get that wrong?
Or a duck-sized horse.
Yeah. Or a duck-sized horse, yeah. Which one you choose?
A thousand duck-sized.
The other way around.
A thousand.
Oh, yeah.
Duck-sized horses. Duck-sized horses or a horse-sized duck.
So giant duck.
Giant duck.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, okay.
I totally go for the duck. The big one.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds cuddly. Yeah, can it fly? Can fly.
I don't know, they can fly, yeah.
Like yeah, okay, that's awesome. Yeah. Totally go for that.
Thanks for that, Harry. Take it away.
Sweet, thank you. As I mentioned, my name is Harry. I'm one of the staff workers here at Credo. And I'd like, I guess, to extend a warm welcome to all of you, especially if you've never actually been here before. This is an amazing place, I think. Sometimes it's really easy to get lost at uni, especially if you're like a first year. It's hard to make friends and stuff. This is a really good place to do that, to meet people. Hopefully, you'll find us warm and friendly. I can't speak for all of us, but I'd say most of us are quite warm and friendly. So please stick around, chat to us and stuff. We'll have lunch afterwards. A few of us stayed back last week. I'd like to see more people stay back. Feel free. You can bring your own lunch if you want to. But if not, you know, food court is right there. So you can grab some stuff. Jake did say that I would announce this as well, but not this one. Sorry, the talkback form. This little thing in your handouts is called a talkback form. It's got a little speech bubble. It says talkback. This is a place for you to write down any comments you might have, anything, you know, even if you found the you know, the atmosphere, it was a good vibe, it was a bad vibe, I don't know, if you didn't feel like you were welcomed even, if you got questions about the talk, if you got critique about the talk, any of those things, I won't be offended, and I would love actually to hear your questions. This is not the only way to talk to us. You can always stay back and talk to us afterwards as well, but we would like you to put down your names just so that we can kind of see who's here and stuff, and but especially if you've got things that you want to say, or even prayer, like things that you would like us to pray for, that's a good place to do that. And if you've never actually been here before, you haven't given us your number or details or anything, and you would like more information, perfect place to do that. So please do that. Okay, let's get into it, I guess. All right, as you may have found out last week, I have a Chinese background, which kind of fits broadly under the category of Asian. And one thing you might already know about Asians is that probably most of us know what it's like to be pushed quite hard to study well. My parents were probably not like real dragon parents, as they call them, but they were still fairly strict. I remember that from an early age, I actually resented my dad for pushing us to study so hard. We had to go to Chinese school, which was kind of useless because I've probably forgotten all my Mandarin. We went to tutoring for maths, for English, and all sorts of things. And all of this while my dad kept telling us it's for your future. Now, looking back, I understand that he really wanted the best for us. And I would say that he was actually a pretty good dad, who loved and cared for us, even though it felt kind of overbearing at times. But what I needed, though, what I think I desired, what I craved, was a life mentor. Someone who could just help me navigate my way through everything and tell me where I was going wrong, encourage me and show me what is good. I needed an example of what it looked like to live a good life. But the truth is that no matter how well prepared you are for things in life like exams or for your job interviews or maybe for your first date or for life in general, how can we actually be prepared for what comes afterwards, what comes after death? Now, we saw last week that the Thessalonian believers in this book, they wholeheartedly took on this Christian faith. And through their behavior and through their words, they became very well known everywhere as faithful believers. Even though they were persecuted and they were going through lots and lots of trials, they persevered because of their genuineness, the genuineness of their faith in God. But they also had great spiritual parents, which we'll see a bit later, or maybe spiritual mentors, to help guide them and show them what it actually looks like to live their lives as Christians. So what was it about these leaders that made them so attractive, so good as role models? Now here's an outline of where we're going today. I'll follow very, very closely with the passage that is in your zine, so please use that. And like Jake said, please return it afterwards, because we'll need it next week as well. So those are the points that I'll be going through today. So one thing that I find quite striking about Paul and his preaching is that he does it even though it attracted persecution. But he does so not without backup as well. He's able to do it because he actually finds his security in God, not in people or anything else in life. So have a look at verses 1 to 2. It's up there, but also in your zines. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. You see, no matter what kind of opposition they faced, they continued to do their work because they knew they had God's backing. The event he is speaking about in verse 2 is actually from another part of the Bible in Acts chapter 16 and 17. You can have a look at that later on if you want to. But in Acts 16, we see that Paul and one of his companions called Silas, they were stripped naked, they were beaten with rods, they were tortured, and they were even thrown into prison. After that, they were released from prison and they went on to Thessalonica, where many Jews and Greeks were converted through their message. So despite the great persecution that they faced, that didn't stop them from continuing to do the work and preach the good news to the Thessalonians. Now you can just imagine Paul, half beaten up with black eye and blood on his shirt while trying to preach to the Thessalonians. It's crazy, right? But he was able to do these things because his strength and his security came not from himself, but from God. Now, I know that these days we speak a lot about finding your own inner strength to battle on, to believe in yourself and to persevere because you can do it. But being human, there is a limit to how far you can go on your own strength. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like preaching this message of hope when you keep getting knocked back and getting even beaten up for it and thrown into prison for it too? Surely after a while you would lose motivation, or you'd just be too afraid to keep going for fear that you might even lose your life. But these persecutions were not able to demotivate Paul, because his source of strength was in God, not in himself. But that's what's even more interesting. It's his motivation for doing this work. So I think one trait that is present in every single person in this room is that we all care somewhat or a lot about what other people think. And that's why I think it's so amazing when you see a life that is motivated by something else. Not motivated by what people think, but by what God thinks. So when you see Paul preaching this message, even though it attracted persecution, you've got to ask the question, what's motivating this guy? So have a look at verses 3 to 6. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed, and God is our witness. We weren't looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. You see, Paul and his companions were not at all concerned about what people thought about them. Rather, they were more concerned about their role as people who are sent by God to deliver a message. And they were just so convinced, so secure about who they were, that it didn't really matter what kind of opposition they faced from people, and it didn't matter what anyone thought of them. They knew that the only one that they had to answer to was God himself. And for them, that was the greatest security. Having such a secure identity meant that they didn't need to use flattery. They didn't need to use bribes. They didn't need to make themselves look impressive as people, because they didn't need to please people. They had an audience of one and only one. And the best thing is that, according to verse 4, they have already been accepted by this one and approved by him. And that audience is God. Children who are loved and approved of, encouraged a lot from a young age, grow up to be so much more confident and secure about who they are. And they learn to love others because they were also loved back home. But the child who is constantly pressured and criticized from a young age, that child is brought up to feel that they are never actually good enough. Those are the ones who grow up to be insecure about themselves, constantly wanting to seek the approval of other people. Not only of their parents, but yeah, all the people around them. They have no confidence in themselves, and they seek to find it in other people, and they are constantly disappointed. Now, that might even be the story of your own life. But the person who knows Jesus Christ and knows his great love and his approval of us, that person, like Paul, is able to move forward and live a life that is free from having to please anyone else, because that person is secure in his or her own identity. Now, why would I need to please other people if all of the approval that I have is already in God? That's where true security lies. And that's why Paul is able to say in verse 6, we were not looking for praise from people, not from you or from anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. And it's the strength of that kind of security that forms the strong foundation for a life of a spiritual parent. That spiritual parent is then able to model to other people what it looks like to live the life of faith. So having that strong foundation of security in knowing who you are as someone loved by God and approved by God, that actually frees you up to live a life of love and care for other people as well. When you're not so concerned about yourself anymore, it makes it a lot easier to love other people. And that's what you see in Paul as well. And so if you look at verses 6 to 9, we see how he describes himself as a mother who cares for her children. So it says, we were not looking for praise from other people, from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone, while we preached the gospel to you. The fact that they don't need approval from others means that they can love others freely, expecting nothing in return. And generally speaking, mothers care for their children no matter what their children throw at them. I've only recently begun to see what it's like for a nursing mother to care for her children. My wife is constantly worrying about our kid and constantly on the lookout for him to see that he gets whatever he needs. She feeds him on demand, tucks him into bed, changes his nappies, bathes him, takes him to the doctors, and various other things. And ever since the kid's birth, she's probably actually halved her sleeping hours. It's really, really demanding work. And what does she get in return? Poop running down her leg all over the rug. Nursing mothers don't have an easy job, I can tell you that. And it requires the utmost love and care. And this is the love and care that Paul and his companions actually show to the Thessalonian Christians. This is the kind of leadership that lays down one's life for the sake of others. This is genuine love that, like that of a mother caring for her children. So you see in verse 8 that it says, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Now, if you were here last week, you may remember that in chapter 1, the Thessalonians were seen to be people of genuine faith. They didn't just speak about the gospel message, they lived it out. Now, where did they actually learn that from? They learnt it from their spiritual parents, who loved them enough to share their very lives with them. This is love that doesn't just speak, it's a love that acts and it shares all good things. Now, it's so easy for me to stand up here and preach to you guys and then just leave afterwards, not sharing my life with you, not spending time with you. It's actually a lot harder for me to involve myself in your lives. It's because love actually does require time and effort and sacrifice. Standing up here to preach to you is easy, even though it takes a lot of preparation work and stuff. It's easy standing up here. But the hard work is for me to actually spend time with you guys. Now, love is hard work, as Paul says in verse 9. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and our hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Paul and his companions worked hard enough that they could actually make enough money to care for their own needs with part-time jobs, and the rest of their time they actually used to preach to the Thessalonians the gospel of God. Their love for the Thessalonians prompted them to labor hard amongst them. The picture that we get here is actually sort of like the picture of a single mother who cares for her kids on her own, working full-time during the day, then coming home to cook, clean, bathe the kids, and then put them to bed before she actually gets to eat and shower and then finally sleep. She'd probably go to bed at like midnight or something and then wake up at the crack of dawn. Mothers are the ones who go through the pain of pregnancy, immense pain of childbirth, and if they're breastfeeding, the hard work of breastfeeding as well, which I can assure you is no easy task. Of course, Paul didn't give birth to the Thessalonians, nor did he breastfeed them, but he did work very, very hard for their sake, like a mother cares for her child. But they did all of this because they loved them. They strongly believed also in the importance of their work, the importance of spreading the gospel to these people. Now, all the hard labor they went through was to make sure that the Thessalonians could hear the good news loud and clear. You can't actually have one without the other. You can't have hard labor without sharing the good news of the gospel, nor can you just share the gospel without loving your hearers. Love must be proven through your actions. The life of a spiritual parent also needs to match up with their words, especially because they are role models and people look up to them as well. And so Paul says in verses 10 to 12, you are witnesses and so is God of how holy, righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So again, they call on God as their witness as to how they have lived. If you haven't already noticed, several times already in this passage alone, Paul has called God as a witness. And he has also called the Thessalonians as witnesses to how they have lived. So if you have a look in your zines, you can follow along, but I'll just read out a few verses. Verse 1, you know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. Verse 5, you know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover greed. God is our witness. Verse 9, surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. Verse 10, You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. And then, verse 11, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. Now, the point that Paul is trying to make here is that both God and the Thessalonians themselves are witnesses of the faithful lives of Paul and his companions. He's saying, now that you've actually seen our lives, imitate us. Live the way we do, because we are your spiritual parents, like your mothers and your fathers. As spiritual leaders, they were both. They played the role of the mother who diligently cares for the moment-to-moment needs of the child, and the father who encourages, disciplines, corrects, and teaches his children to live good lives. This is how spiritual parenthood should be. Wholesome care for the good of the children. It's wholesome care that seeks to prepare the children for the end that God envisions. As verse 12 says, that Paul and his companions had the role of encouraging, comforting, urging them to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Now, the spiritual father cares for the spiritual needs of the people. He encourages, comforts, and urges those who are discouraged, upset, lonely, feeling inadequate, feeling like the whole world is against them. And he points them back to God and gives them a vision, a greater vision of God's kingdom and glory. Because the truth is that life is so full of things that can discourage us and make us forget about God's ultimate dream. Often we don't see God's dream, his kingdom and his glory, because we are so stuck in the busyness and the stress of our everyday lives. And that's why it's so important for us to encourage and be encouraged by others regularly, so that we don't lose sight of this amazing dream as we continue to live these lives. Now, I've seen people lose faith for all sorts of reasons, but ultimately it's because their sight became so narrowly focused on their own problems and the pressures from all around them. They lost sight of the bigger picture of God's great plan, his plan for Jesus to return and bring his people back into his kingdom and his glory. And isn't it amazing, I think, that we are called into his kingdom and glory? It's a far greater dream than whatever else the world can offer, because everything in this world is fleeting and meaningless. And in the end, what we are offered by the world will not last. But the dream offered by God is full of significance, and it is eternal. Remember that Paul is telling this to the Thessalonian believers because he's actually worried for them. They are being surrounded by persecution and great trials. But as a father, he says this to encourage them that no matter what kind of pressures they face in this world, their hope is certain, because it is a hope in a glory that will never fade. That is the vision that we all need to hold on to, because it's the only vision that will last. Now, this passage makes clear that growth as a Christian happens in a close-knit community that is filled with love, but also one that has good spiritual leaders. If you don't have people that you meet up with regularly to encourage and build you up, I think that's actually super important. It's important for you to find someone who can actually help you with that. I think now is possibly the most formative stage in your life while you're uni students. You're being surrounded and bombarded by so many different ideas and values, and now is probably the time where you will be influenced by all kinds of ideas, including the wrong kind of ideas too. But that's why it's so important that you find the right influences. Now, I know how easy it is to be pulled in so many different directions as a student, because you generally have a lot more free time that you can do whatever you want with. You could study, you could work a part-time job, you could hang out with friends, you could join this event, that event, work on your portfolio, do internships, or whatever. And there are so many different things that you can commit to. But are you committing to growing spiritually, is the question. How important is that to you? Are you committed to being nurtured so that, as Paul says, you might live your lives in a way that is worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory? fix your eyes on him, on that spiritual reality, and it will help you to work out the day-to-day things, what's important in life, and what to spend your time on. All I can do is teach you these words and encourage you to be committed to growing. While you're here at uni, that might mean going to small groups, public talks, meeting up one-to-one with someone, camps, conferences, and all sorts of things. But the main thing, the very most important thing, is that you're committed to your own growth. Now, I think that we can also learn from this about what it actually looks like to have your whole life focused on God. Paul and his companions didn't actually care about how people saw them. They weren't people pleasers. But they cared only that they were God's messengers. And so the only one that they were accountable to was God himself. Now, I know that I personally tend towards being a people pleaser. The problem with that is that it means that I do what I can to get people to love me instead of getting them to love God more. And God actually, he knows my heart. He knows that often I fall into the trap of trying to gain honor for myself and glory from people, even from the way that I preach and the way that I teach. And it's so easy, even in the process of writing talks like this one, for me to seek to be impressive or seek to have people say good things. And I actually had to catch myself several times to stop myself from focusing so much on those things, and instead to focus on being faithful just in teaching God's word. Now, it's easy for all of us, I think, to think that way as well. It's so easy for us to serve others in a way that is actually self-serving, isn't it? Being a people pleaser means that you want to gain love from others through your actions. You want to be seen as that hero who can do everything. It's only natural for us to fall into that trap because we are inherently selfish. But like Paul, those who are truly captivated by God's word, by his glory, and those who truly understand their role on here as spiritual parents should understand also that the only one that they are accountable to is God. And thus, all of our efforts should be to please God and not to please people. Being a people pleaser leads to all kinds of trouble, which Paul describes. People pleasers use flattery to gain respect and love. Then they use their position to manipulate others to get what they want. They don't care about the actual well-being of other people, but only insofar as they benefit themselves from that personally. For example, a guy can say nice things to a girl, telling her how beautiful she is, just so that she can sleep with her. And then when they wake up the very next morning, it's just as easy to up and leave because they never really loved her in the first place. But then he'll be nice to her again so that she can feel good about herself, and then take advantage of that situation again. Now, I'm sorry, that's a bit of a crude image, but in a sense, that's kind of what we do when we use flattery to gain people's approval. We want them to love us because it feels good when people love us, doesn't it? And if they don't end up loving us, we push them away because they aren't serving our own purposes. But genuine love and care that is inspired by the gospel only comes first from the fear of God, not the fear of people. The fear of God teaches us to serve him and to serve him alone. Because our focus is on him, we are actually freed up to love others without expecting anything back from them. The fear of God leads to the true love of others that requires nothing back. Now, being entrusted by God with the gospel means also that we only have God to answer to. The person who seeks to please people will be disappointed when those people don't give them recognition or honor. And in time, that disappointment will grow into burnout, into resentment, into bitterness, and all kinds of other problems. And that's because people-pleasing is actually really self-pleasing. No one is a people-pleaser without first being a self-pleaser. But the God-pleaser seeks first the glory of God, and thus the love and respect of other people is not at all needed for you to feel secure about yourself. They are inherently content with who they are. So when people don't give them respect or recognition for all they do, the God-pleaser will not fall into disappointment or resentment or bitterness, because They are perfectly satisfied already. So, perhaps as we think about our service to other people, do we serve them to be loved by them? Or do we serve them so that because we love God? Do you make friends with people in your classes so that you can benefit them? Or do you do it just so that you can feel less lonely? Or maybe get good notes from them? Or look like you're part of the cool crowd even? Why not try instead to befriend those who you wouldn't normally befriend? Maybe some of the international students around you who could be struggling to make friends or struggling with English, or struggling even to understand their lectures. Even if the friendship feels very one-sided, even if you feel like you're doing all the work and not benefiting much from it, that is exactly what Christians are actually called to do. Christians are here to serve others, not to be served, because that is exactly how Jesus lived. And he was not a people pleaser. So in the end, real spiritual parents fear and love God first and foremost, and that frees them up to love others properly, as a mother cares for her children, and as a father leads, encourages, and teaches them. Now, these are all great things for us to aspire to, but it starts first with us focusing on God's glory and his dream for a better future, not for our own. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for being our great Father, for you have called us into your kingdom and glory. We ask that you will fill us with a great vision for your glory, and that that might transform the way we see and understand everything else that happens in our lives. And may we thus live for you and for you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, my name's Chloe. I'm a third year law and creative intelligence student, and I'm going to be praying today. So we've just had the opportunity to hear God speak to us through the Bible, and now we have the privilege to respond to him in prayer. So if you're the praying sort, it'd be awesome if you could join with me. All right. Dear Heavenly Dad, you are an awesome God and you rule the world with justice. We eagerly await the coming of your kingdom, when you will set right what is wrong and make perfect what is not. Father, we especially think of those who are less fortunate than us here in Australia, including those seeking asylum and refuge, fleeing war and poverty and terror. Lord, help us to have compassion, to be merciful, to be generous. Help us to love all people because they were made in your image. And may our political leaders and laws reflect that. And may our charities be well-resourced and able to provide relief. And when we fail, Father, may all those who lie beyond the reach of safety and freedom remain in your watchful, tender care. We pray also for your work here on campus, and especially for small group Bible studies as they start up this week. Lord, we thank you for the resources and the freedom that we have to meet and grow alongside one another in our understanding and love for you. We pray that you would form strong, growing communities amongst the groups and be with the leaders as they prepare each week. We pray also for the teaching staff here at UTS. Thank you for the privilege of an education. We pray that you would help the staff to balance their research and teaching responsibilities, and use their wisdom and skills to teach students effectively. And we pray these things to the God who will supply every need we have in his generosity. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We just have a couple of announcements now. If we can turn to that other piece of paper in your zines. Well, on the one side we have Living the Dream. Just shows you when all the public talks are, and also an international talk. So if you have any friends who are of international background, you can invite them along to that. And I'd encourage you to keep inviting your friends to any of those public talks. And on the other side, we have small groups. Now, small groups have kicked off this week, but it's not too late to join. And this is where we get to open up the Bible, have a read of it, and just discuss it with a group of friends and people that you'll meet there. So if you'd like to get involved, you can go to the website, or you can talk to myself or any other people in Credo shirts, and they'll help you out. And I highly recommend getting involved in one. And yeah, they've started this week, so don't wait, get involved. Now I'm going to invite Kirsten up to talk about Prime.
Hi, I'm Kirsten. I'm part of the Credo team. you might well have picked up by now that at Credo we're really excited about opportunities to grow together. There's lots of different opportunities to grow in knowing God, to grow in how we can live for Him and how we can serve Him at uni and beyond uni. You've heard about some already. Jake's just mentioned small groups. They're a great way to grow as part of a small community, exploring God's word together and growing together as a community. If you can only fit one thing in your week, if you can only squeeze it in because your timetable is really tight, small groups are a brilliant place to grow and way to grow. We're about to hear more about ETC. That's a brilliant way to grow. I'll let Caitlin tell you about that. But Prime is one other different opportunity that might suit you. And I want to tell you about it now because it's just about to kick off. Prime is a variety of training modules that run for 1 hour a week. They're going to start this week, kicking off tomorrow and Thursday, and run for the rest of this session. So the modules run for most of a session for 1 hour a week. They're offered at four different times. So there's Prime modules offered on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Or again, they're offered on Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock in the morning. There's a variety of different modules. They're all designed to be really practical and equip you to serve God and others at uni or beyond uni. You can see the website up there, credo.org.au/prime. Definitely worth checking that out. That will list them all and details about when they're on. They're not all on at exactly the same time, so you can see what's offered when and check out some more details. And if you're keen to sign up, really simple spot to register there. Let me just highlight briefly three of the modules that are on offer. One's called Abide in Christ. That's all about helping grow in and develop habits that will help you keep growing in your relationship with God in a really healthy and growing way. That's on at a variety of different times. There's another one called Engaging with Islam. Did you know that about a quarter of the world follow Islam? Heaps of people around us, fellow students and classmates at UTS, follow Islam. So this module is a great opportunity to grow in understanding Islam. Perhaps you don't know much about it, but you hear it a lot, it crops up a lot on the news and around us in the world. This is a great chance to grow in understanding Islam and to get challenged and equipped in ways that will help you engage socially and theologically with Muslims that you might meet and get to know, classmates and people around you. That's offered a couple of times, once on Wednesday, once on a Thursday. A third one to draw your attention to is called One-to-One. Another great way to grow is by reading the Bible with someone else and exploring it together. That's a great way for both to grow, both you and the person you're reading with. So One-to-One is a module that has a heap of tips, practical support and encouragement that will help you actually just embrace that opportunity and be ready to grab it, whether it's at uni, whether it's outside uni, to actually read the Bible one-to-one with someone. There are other modules as well that have specific focuses, so let me encourage you to check them out online. If you've got any questions about that, I'll be around a bit afterwards, and over lunch feel free to grab me. Top things to know about it: the modules kick off this week, so starting tomorrow and on Thursday, but there's still some space. The modules are capped in size, so they will fill up, so jump in if you're keen, jump online and check them out. They cost $15 for the whole rest of the session, and that covers resources and materials. It's a great investment in growing. So yeah, love to chat further if you've got any questions or want to learn more about it.
Thanks, Kirsten. I would now like to invite Caitlin up to talk about ETC.
Hi, everyone. If I haven't met you before, I'm Caitlin. I'm a third-year nursing student and also a part of the conferences team that is helping put together ETC, and we're really excited about it, and it's coming up so soon. Let me tell you a little bit about the term Inside Out. So that's the theme for ETC this year. That's what our speaker, Rhys Benzet, will be talking to us about. And it's about this term called sanctification. And we heard a lot about growing in Christ. And how do we do that? Is it about our inner strength? Is it about us making those decisions to grow? We get to learn about how God helps us and renews us and helps us grow spiritually through that. We have some exciting workshops that are going on. So one of the things that we do some talks. Rachel will be speaking to us about sanctification. We'll then get to unpack lots of different things with our discussion groups. And then we also have some practical workshops that we're going to be doing throughout a couple of the days. And let me give you a little bit of a teaser. So we have a workshop called Self-Control, Peacemaking, Transformation by Habit, and You Need the Church. So there are some of the teasers for you. And it's we're looking about how do we, how does God make us purified and holy? And so we're going to hear from the Bible, and we're going to hear from Rhys, and we're also going to look a little bit about Easter as well, from Paul is going to talk to us about Easter as well. So it's a really exciting time. There's lots of things to listen, to grow, to discuss. If you're not if you don't know Jesus yet and you're still investigating, we'd also love you to come along as well. We have some spaces for you guys and some good discussion groups for that. So if you do want to chat with me, please feel free and come that. If you have friends that you'd like to invite along as well, please do that. Rego closes this Friday, standard registration, 3:45 for the standard registration. It's from the 13th to the 17th of April, so over the long weekend from Thursday night to Monday during the day. I've heard, and I can also tell you from experience, the food at Stanwell Tops, it is the best camp food in the whole of, I would go New South Wales. I haven't been quite beyond the whole of New South Wales, but definitely the Sydney region. Delicious and a great campsite. It's down near the beach as well. You might have some opportunities in free time to do that. So we're really excited about the new site, a new speaker, but we're also excited to continue to learn more about our God and how he can help renew us and become purified and holy. So if you have any questions, I'll be up the back for a little bit or outside. And Rego closes this Friday and we'd love you to join. And if you're a first year, it's also 3:35 as well. So that's exciting. Does anyone have any questions about ETC? Awesome. Well, we're really excited to have you, and we'd be really keen to hear from you if you have any questions. Thanks.
Thanks, Caitlin. Yeah, get on top of that, get regoed, get there. That's it for today. Four in here, we'll be heading around to Bites Cafe for some lunch. But before we do, if you could just fill out your talk back form, even if it's just to write your name on to say that you're here, we'd really appreciate that. Enjoy. I've been informed that we're getting kicked out of this room quite shortly. So if you get onto your talkback forms, Casper's going to be up the back. You give him the zines, give him the talkback forms, and we'll head to Bites Cafe, continue to talk and have some lunch. So see you, Bites.
All right, do you want to collect some talk platforms as well?
Yep.